colleagues, can we then continue? Are we in agreement that we note and concur with this recommendation? Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, we can get on to the second item of business. Where is the department? Sorry, Dr. Morris, we didn't mean you to stand outside in the corridor there.
But,
okay, the department, for the sake of those who don't know them, we will ask the department to introduce the officials once they've all got their places. We've asked the department to come here, and this is during a previous, when the previous chairman was in the seat, and that is just a briefing from the department on the Neighbourhood Watch program and the update the Neighbourhood Watch accreditation process, which I know is very topical in the communities at the moment. Everybody's wanting to get the Neighbourhood Watch accredited. So, Mr. Morris, I'm going to ask you to introduce your members, please, so that we can identify them when they speak.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Gideon Morris, Head of Department for Community Safety. To my left is Mr. Winston Gogol, who helped with the design of the dashboard. You'll see in the packs that we handed out to you, Chair, there's also a memory stick. And the memory stick, then, if you plug that into your computer, you will have the updated dashboard as well as the demarcation that we'll demonstrate to you a bit later. Then to my immediate right is Mr. Simeon George, who is the Chief Director for Security Risk Management. As you may recall, that 2 years ago we shifted the function of the Neighbourhood Watches under Security Risk Management because we also want to see a greater alignment with the private security and the security mandate which Mr. Simeon George is responsible for. Next to him, Chairperson, is the Chief Director for Secretariat of Police, Advocate Yashina Pillay. And then next to her is Advocate Norris, who is then also involved in running the process of the Neighbourhood Watch accreditation.
Thank you, sir. Are we ready to begin? Are you going to do a presentation? So you want me to move?
Sure, yes, we've got a very, very brief presentation. It's only 2 pages, actually 1 page of substance, and that is the one. Let you just see that quickly. It's bringing that up. So, Chair, if we go to the first slide, it speaks to the design principles according to which this whole model was established. The design principles, again, you may recall, is based on the work done by the University of Cape Town, the Center of Criminology, as well as some of the lessons that we've learned through the Khayelitsha Commission of Inquiry, which then gave rise to the establishment of a legal framework for the creation or the setting up of neighborhood watches. Now, Chairperson, as you know, accreditation is voluntary, but it is subject to acceptance of the neighborhood watch of the code of conduct that was also published as part of the legal framework. The handout we gave to you, Chairperson, if I can just refer your attention to page 5 of the handout, if marked in writing down, that is the letter of support that we got from the National Minister or the National Commissioner of Police to illustrate their full support of the accreditation of the neighborhood watches and the process. Now, pages 7 to pages 10, pages 12, is then the detailed code of conduct that is then that was published as part of the regulations after following a process of broad consultation with all the role players.
Sorry, can I just ask the date of that letter from
Chairperson, I'm sorry, your photocopy is not that clear. I'll just verify. It's the 22nd of May. Chair. I see my copy. That's when the copies were made of. August, sorry. My eyes are not what.
August. Which year?
It must be then 2016. Yeah, 2016. So I can see it now. Thank you, Chair. So just get back to the design principle, Chair. So the accreditation is voluntary, but it is on the condition that they then on accreditation accept the code of conduct and that they then afterwards perform themselves and act in a way compliant with the code of conduct. Second design principle, Chair, is that the accreditation is considered by a panel made up and chaired by Mr. Simeon George, but police is on the panel, the CPF is on the panel if they are functional as measured according to the EPP, and for the neighborhood watches in the city, the city is also present because we have signed an MOU between the minister and the city to say that the city will going forward only support, fund or resource accredited neighborhood watches. So in that way we have been able to pool our resources between the city of Cape Town and the province. We hope to have a similar agreement with all the municipalities going forward. Chairperson, the panel, the multi-discipline panel then makes a recommendation to the minister who then approves the accreditation. Certificates is issued in each case of the accreditation, and there I would like to draw your attention to the last page of that document or handout, and that is an example of how an accreditation certificate looks like. So you'll see the name of the neighborhood watch, you'll see the area defined, the boundaries of the neighborhood watch, a specific accreditation number, as well as an expiry date of that accreditation certificate. This particular example before you has not been dated because we date the certificate also when it's handed out to the neighborhood watch as not to... thank you, Chair. The next one, Chairperson, I said the certificate is issued and valid for 2 years. All patrol members of accredited neighborhood watch must undergo vetting or screening by SAPS, and that is the normal, I think it's the SAP 69 fingerprints confirmation. We have had some delays on the accreditation because of that, Chair. So what we have done in consultation with the parties is we have split non-patrolling members, patrolling members, and also the accreditation. So you may have a neighborhood watch will be accredited on based on the 200 members that's already vetted, but there may be another 200 members pending vetting. So you don't want to delay the accreditation until the vetting of all members have been sorted out. We have thus far delayed it, but we have changed now to make sure we don't fall behind. Functionality of neighborhood watch structures are measured against the requirements set out in Section 610 of the Act in the pack that we gave you, Chairperson, on page 3, page 2 and page 3 is the legal requirements and framework for accreditation, and then against the measurement of functionality is set out in subsection 10 at the bottom of page 2 and the top of page 3. Now, that then also brings us, Chairperson, I think to, we raise this in the spirit of transparency, but also to make absolutely sure that I just want to emphasize that we haven't concluded yet. We've made a lot of progress, and that is the introduction of a funding model for neighborhood watches. Now, again, Chairperson, we'll split the funding model into two phases and into two parts. The first funding model then speaks to the functionality of the neighborhood watch. So as long as they can prove that they operate within the confines and the requirements of the code of conduct, as well as then section 10, they will receive a functionality payment as we speak. That will be paid, Mr. George, please help, but it will be paid in two transfers per year. And at this stage, the available budget we speak about is between 5 and 10,000 rand a year, and that's for functionality payment.
Admin support.
Admin support, yes, sir. Then the second part of it is then project specific. Now, we have piloted at a number of schools, for instance, Bulumko High, Nelson Mandela, as well as in Atlantis. We have piloted a number of projects where the school will then sign an agreement with the neighborhood watch to provide them with certain functions like access control, walking bus, whatever the case may be. And for that, the money will not necessarily come from community safety. It will come from the parent department. What our responsibility is to create a capable partnership. We will then broker the agreement, but then it will be a transaction between whether it's the Department of Health that wants to contract the neighborhood watches to look after the clinics, whether it's the Department of Transport on trains. You understand that because of the size of and the complexity of those projects, we will then play a supporting role. Now, in both these cases, Chair, again, I think the big argument is payment of individual stipends versus payments to the entity. Now, the EPWP provides for piecework payment or for payment of product or for individual stipends. Now, the problem with individual stipends, for instance, Chair, not only the administration, you understand, it is also then the limitation that any person can only receive a EPWP stipend for a maximum of 2 years. So that means that you will then have a scenario where some patrollers have served 2 years, others don't have. How do you control? How do some people get, others don't get? And you actually build a system that will guarantee that the neighborhood watch will die every 2 years, because that's when they can't get payment. So when we pay for piecework, when we pay the entity, it's one payment and they can then decide whether they pay stipends, whether they pay transport, whether they pay, buy coffee and tea or whatever in order to support their members. So those are the two funding models, Chair. And I think our biggest challenge at this stage, of course, remains funding. So we have set aside a 1.5 million for this year, and that comes from savings on cost of employment. But we are also, Chairperson, we've made an argument to Provincial Treasury that the additional revenue that we have generated through the Liquor Board, both in fines as well as increased tariffs, which comes to about 12 million, that money should be directed and invested back into the neighborhood watches as the entity that ultimately have to deal with the harms that are caused by alcohol. Chairperson, then if we can go to the dashboard, please. Now again, Chairperson, we've given you a hard copy that's on page 13 of your document. It's a fold out like this. But we have also, as I've said, you'll have to close your PowerPoint, otherwise it won't show on the screen. So, Chairperson, that is a interactive dashboard. You've got a copy on your memory stick. So that would give you the number of approved structures per cluster. And you can select, Winston, maybe you can demonstrate if you select any one cluster. Take, for instance, Khayelitsha. If you go to, so now you can, your screen is just, so there, Khayelitsha, you can see for that in particular, 24 approved structures, 10 pending. There's the different police precincts for which they have. These are the ones approved. These are the ones pending. On your right-hand side, you'll see the expiry per year, when some of those will expire, and then also importantly, the total member number of accredited members. Just bring that on the screen, if you can scroll down, per cluster. So the memory stick we gave you, Chairperson, that we've given you a spreadsheet that gives you an overall. We have 244 accredited structures as we are sitting here now, with just over 16,000 accredited and vetted members, and there are still about 2,000 pending. So it brings us to just over 18,036, I think is the exact number of members that are now part of accredited neighborhood watchers. And again, Chairperson, we, as you know, when a neighborhood watch is accredited, they get a starter kit in a lockable box, and we are far in our conversations with the city to link all the neighborhood watches then to the TMC control desk. We have worked with the city to set up a neighborhood watch desk in the TMC. It is now the complexity of a radio network that will be able to link at least the control members or the with all of these neighborhood watches. Chairperson, the second demonstration we want to do, and that is the also on your memory stick, and that's just, I'm not going to speak to it, Winston can just maybe activate the chair, but that's something that you can also may want to use in future presentations or when you do meetings at your public meetings, and that just gives you an overview of each of the clusters, how they are performing, and when we go down, you can actually go into a cluster and see in a precinct which areas are not currently covered by a neighborhood watch. Currently, Chairperson, we only respond to applications of accreditation. We haven't started going into communities and actually establish neighborhood watches because there's a different set of skills needed for that, and we don't currently have the resources. It is part of the modernization process to start directing available resources then to this new function. Chairperson, this will then just continue to play on, and you can then have a look at the difference. Chair?
Would you just repeat that? Did you say you
don't have the capacity to do what?
You see, Chairperson, currently we only respond on applications for accreditation. And that means that in 99% of it, the community have already organized themselves into a neighborhood watch, and now they just ask for legitimacy through accreditation. What we haven't done yet and what we don't have the capacity now, Chair, is that when you look at the map here and you see, for instance, that there's an area, let's say, use the example, which I may, strategically not a good one, but let's use Merveville as example. You understand? If there is no neighborhood watch there yet, we haven't developed the capacity yet to go into Merveville to organize the community in order to establish one. That's something that the community and the role players must do, and we just follow up on that one there. I'm just saying, I know Minister Plato will also be in Beaufort West on Friday and on Saturday trying to get them to organize. That can be career limiting. Chair, yes, we are done then with our presentation. So, leave it.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Morrison, your officials. I think it's a very professional looking and sounding operation, and the fact that we already got 16,000 people in the starting grid is very significant. I might tell you, the irony of it is, should not be lost, but you're rapidly approaching the same amount of people that the shrinking numbers of the South African Police Service, and one of these days, shortly, you're going to meet each other with the same quantum of people involved, and that's quite interesting. And we'll hear more about that when we've got the Public Service Commissioner coming to deliver their report later this morning. which is going to be a very significant event. All right, any questions from the members? Member Dolan and Mitchell, and then Lekker, and then Kavita.
Chair, firstly, let me welcome the presentation. It's, I think you alluded to the fact that it's very professional, so I'm very excited to use this tool. I just want to ask, just for from a logistical point of view, how often would this be updated? Is it a live update? And then also, is there a, because I mean, you provided us with a flash disk, which I would imagine is as it is currently. But is there no link that we would be able to, as it updates, that it's like live, if you know what I mean? That's just my techno brain asking. And then, Chair, the last thing I want to do to know is, just for interest's sake, from these 16,000 people, how many of them were previously reservists that are not being able to because of the lack of reservists in the South African police services, are now using this avenue to still contribute to society and to their communities? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Let me follow suit and welcome the presentation. I first want to understand, Chairperson, that out of the neighborhood watches, that neighborhood watch group that have been accredited in the area of Okuletu, those that are outstanding, what are the main reasons for that? I'm asking this question because an official that is operating in that area, Kwakiki, as well as Lusaka, and that upper part, just across the graveyard, there are serious allegations that the gentleman is only accrediting neighborhood watch groups that are linked to the DA. And therefore, I want to understand from the ones of Okuletu, which ones are outstanding and what are the reasons for that. The second part, Chair, is linked to the project specific as a funding model. I want to understand again from that one, seeing that the department has been going out to communities explaining the funding model. What is the feeling of the community? I know there was one in Khayelitsha, there was one in New Cross Road at Edlovin. What is the feeling of the communities based on the second aspect of the funding model, which is project specific? The third thing that I want to make a comment on is the department's understanding of the functionality of the CPF. We all remember that there was an instruction issued by the board to say CPFs must not participate on the EPP. And that is one of the reasons that some of the CPFs, including Nyanga, did not participate in the EPP project until recently. Now, I have a very serious concern if you identify such CPFs as not being functional just because they don't participate in the EPP, whilst they do all the other duties in the community. So isn't there a disjuncture in your understanding as well as the operations at the ground level of the CPFs? Now, the last item, Chair, is something that I get very worried. If you go into the area of Delft, almost 20 schools in Delft alone have got what we call school resource officers. And I want to check those schools that have got school resource officers on the ground. Do they have members of the neighborhood watch on board on the very same premises? The very last one also linked to that. We're talking of a relationship between the department and the schools and the neighborhood watches. and we're making reference to Mulumko, and I know many schools in Khayelitsha are endangered. Is Mulumko the only school that the department has got a program on in the rest of Khayelitsha? And if not, what are the details that we've got there? Mandela High is one of the partners that the department has. As far as I recall, that contract ended last year. So why are we still making reference to it when it's no longer in place? What partnership is there except for the school resource officers that are on board? Why are we continuing to make reference to it as if it's something that is active? I thank you, Chair.
So do you want to answer those questions a little bit more than I thought? So we, if you want to take those, then we'll have a second round.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me just start with the last one. Why are we still making reference to the Nelson Mandela pilot? Chair, that was a pilot. It started and it ended. We did an impact study, and based on the lessons of that, we have developed it, the model. So I'm not suggesting that we are still running the pilots. Both the pilots have, as pilots are supposed to start and come to an end, but we definitely have taken the lessons there and go forward. Let me then just on the issue also, I'll take Honourable Member's Lacker's questions last, and I'll then ask some help also with questions from Mr. Mitchell. Ma'am, the 20 school resource officers in Delft was appointed by the city of Cape Town. And that is something that we often see in terms of the deployment of resources, safety resources, across the three spheres of government. Because the police may regard school A as a priority, the province has got school B as a priority, and the city has got their own priority. So we have, through the Prof Joint's Priority Committee on Schools, we have now developed a risk assessment tool that would give each of the schools a risk rating. And we are in the process at Prof Joints to then agree that if a school has got a rating of red, all three spheres of government will respect that rating and deploy their resources accordingly. But we don't have that situation where some areas are benefiting and other areas are not benefiting. So the school resources officers in Delft, man, were not funded by the province. They are funded by the city. We have funded additional members for the safe zones, but I don't want to over answer the question. That in itself is a presentation as it speaks to school safety. On the Neighbourhood Watch members' involvement in the city, again, Chair, what we saw, and that we support, where the city recruited the school resource officers as well as what they call the neighbourhood safety officers, many of them were recruited from the ranks of the Neighbourhood Watch. The problem with that, Chair, and we saw that again with all due respect and all the it worked well, but with the Bambananis. Once you recruit the people from the Neighbourhood Watch, the first thing they do is they resign from the Neighbourhood Watch because they now have a work. So you actually weaken the structures that you were meant to build. We're not in the job, and I say this with great respect, we're not in the job of employing people. We are in the, our mandate is to build entities called Neighbourhood Watches. So therefore, again, ma'am, we support the same with the, and that's what we hope going forward, Chair, that when we sign a big security contract for Khayelitsha Hospital, for instance, that there would be a condition that X amount of members must be recruited from the ranks of accredited Neighbourhood Watches. But for us to get there, we need to create a system that has got legitimacy so that we can then make sure that that processes are seen through. But on the functionality of CPF, Chair, again, I can, and Advocate Pillay, please correct me if I'm wrong, I can confirm definitely that SAPS has now signed off on the functionality, the EPP as a tool to measure functionality, and that the board has now adopted the resolution to support the EPP as a functionality tool. The only requirement that we now need, and it's not only because of the functions of the CPFJ, but it's also in order to make payments. I cannot pay any money to an institution that referred to sign an agreement with me. You understand, there's no way that as an accounting officer, and I'm sure the chair of SCOPA will agree, you understand, so whether people, we have, and that's why we do it as a panel made up of all three spheres of government, so that we can try and avoid the political interference in that. But at the end of the day, if the CPF or the Neighbourhood Watch is not willing to sign an agreement with the department, there's absolutely no way in terms of the Public Finance Management Act that we can fund that that organisation. We have had many conversations, Chair, both at national as well as at provincial level about the EPP as a tool. It measures the functions of Section 18, and we are eagerly awaiting the new policy on CPF, which we have worked closely with Deputy Minister Mkongi on the development. So that's the only answer that I'm able to give at this stage. The project funding and the feeling from the community, Chair, we've had consultation, for instance, in Khayelitsha with all the all the neighborhood watches. We had education there as well, and we asked them whether they would be willing to partner with the education department to provide the support we saw in Belumko and Nelson Mandela, and all of them were very keen to do that. So we are in the process of now bringing those two parties together, because the budget sits with education. We don't have that kind of money in order to fund it. We've had conversations. It continues within the priority committee, but from a principal perspective, the communities, ma'am, I would, with respect, say they are willing to work with us on this basis. I think the payment of individual stipends versus payment of the entity, that may be a challenge in some areas, because some of the entities are not very strong. They don't have bank accounts, they don't have, but we need to build the entity. When you go around and you start looking at other professional CPFs, Ocean View and many others, say, you know, they have all their systems in place, and we need to get all these neighborhood watches to a level of professionalism where at least they can get resources, make sure the equipment is kept in a lockable cupboard, issue it, get it back. So that would be the challenge, as I said, as we continue with it. And we've seen with the CPFs, again, Chairperson, the funding model is not very different, where we fund CPFs for according to functionality. They then start using that money to build capacity. They buy a laptop, they get airtime. Now, those are not things that we can do from our side. But I think once we start throwing money to the concept of functionality, I'm confident we'll start seeing an increase and an improvement in functionality. The last one on Guguletu, if I can ask between Mr. Simeon George and Advocate Norris, if we have the detail on the accreditation. Maybe just to say from my side, ma'am, that again, the law is very clear. If you look at Section 6 of the Community Safety Act, which we gave you a copy of, that if the minister refuses accreditation, reasons must be provided, and there's an appeal process to protect individuals from being excluded from accreditation. So again, and when people, if you see that there are certain, because I can say from a administrative position that there's obviously some of the councillors have a greater appetite for the accreditation than others. So therefore you do sit with those that are actively driving it, and we just need to make sure that ultimately, but it's definitely not part of the consideration, that I can guarantee you, ma'am. It's written in the Act. It's not part of the consideration of the panel when they consider the application. Mr. George, can I ask that you maybe just on that?
Well, about the specific applications, I can't respond to it. Hopefully we'll get some information shortly. But can I say that from a management control perspective, Chair, that we have systems in place, which means if you receive the application, there's an indication of what needs to happen next. So the staff is compelled to deal with the application, whatever needs to, you communicate the receipt of the application, you communicate what is outstanding in terms of documentation, and you follow that up. So there's a timeline as far as that is concerned. So I will be able to find exactly when we received an application and if we did. from Google Letter and where it is in that person. I cannot ever speak to, but invariably seems to and also, if there's an objection to it, or at least the documentation is not full, it's normally, let's say, an indication of who in the South African Police Service, what they indicated they support or not, and the other one is CPFs. All we require is an indication from those structures why they have all that view. We're not led by it. We just take that view and consider the application against that view that they hold. So it can't withhold the application. And then the only things that that we'll then look at once the application there is fully received is to what extent it overlaps with other neighborhood watches so that you don't have contestation of areas and so forth. And then what took long initially and that held up the process, which we clarified with SAPS, was the issue around clearance of individual members. That we've expedited because of SAPS participation in the panel. So now we've got greater cooperation and they now accept the responsibility to do the clearance of members of the neighborhood watches. So yes, that's a response in relation to the applications as and when you receive. I don't know if you know anything specific about Google Letter.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. We had Google Letter, KTC has been accredited. We recently accredited Polar Park Neighborhood Watch. But they are not part of the statistics because we only recommended them for approval at the meeting held on the 3rd of August, the panel meeting. With regard to the hold-up, Mr. Chair, our office is strictly guided by the requirements for accreditation, and we have to see to that the application is compliant before we can even consider submitting it to the panel for recommendation. So in the 7 applications that we have from Google to there are certain things that are outstanding, such as the CPF endorsements, sometimes the mapping hasn't been done, and the screening, we are working on obtaining the screening results so that we can expedite those applications. So in total, we only got 7 applications from the Google Letter precinct that's outstanding, Mr. Chair.
Okay, if I may, also there was the question on do we know how many of those members are police reservists? I don't think we have that
information. No, we do not have that information.
That's not part of the consideration. And then I think the last one is on the update of the tool. We are hoping this is then what we call a proof of concept. It was designed by Winston himself. We've handed this over to CEI and we hope to make it a live document. I think the undertaking that we can do make, Chair, is that because after each panel meeting, there is recommendations to the minister and the stats may change, that we then on that basis send you an updated tool so that you can use it more until it's then live, in which case we'll communicate that to you. Thank you, Chair.
Vida, the member, Lekker again.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to express my appreciation for this highly professional presentation as well. I have 4 quick questions. The first one, regarding the stretching of resources between province and municipalities. Municipalities are compelled to have safety plans in terms of the makeup for community safety, to draft and to craft a safety plan. And I just want to know what is the accountability, levels of accountability in terms of reporting, the reporting system to the province from municipalities. Also in terms of the functionality, in terms of the IDP, the operational side of the IDP in any local government, whether these people are really equipped and performing their tasks, etc. They normally work on a distance and we can't just remote control, but what type of feedback do you get from these municipalities? The other one is the supporting role. The project specifics, you've mentioned that a neighborhood watches, and let me at the offset say that we must never underestimate the ground intelligence capacity of neighborhood watches and CPFs. I think there is where the strength of these two entities lie. I'm sorry, but given our dilapidated and also pathetic, I'm sorry to use the word, openbare vervoerstelsels, public transport systems, I just wanted to know what is the possibility of deploying these people, of some of these neighborhood watch members, especially to Metro Rail. We've started in my constituency with one at Vasco station, and it's working. It's worked, up till now it's working quite well. And this is not a bragging session, but it's factual. It is working. The second one is...
That was your first point. You got 4 points. You have to finish in the next 12 minutes.
Yes. No, that's fine. I just want to know how far you are with the discussions with putting the neighborhood watches on the TMC in terms of connecting it with the TMC. And I keep my questions short as possible. And then the EPWP, in terms of, and I'm teasing you, Chair. I just wanted to know, when it comes to the paying of the entity, you have the transfer payments twice per year of 10,000 Rand. Now, people normally, the interns are after money. They want to be paid. They want to see rand and cent in their hands. Paying the entities, and so it is not necessarily money, but it can be goods and services also, as you alluded to. Do you find they have any strain in that relationship or conflict of interest where you have dwindling numbers of people and demotivation, that members become demotivated to join up with neighborhood watches because they are not being paid in cash? Thank you so much, Chair.
No, thank you, Chair. Chair, my question is kind of a recommendation that I wish to make, or an appeal that I wish to make to the department. You see, this presentation is well and good presented to us, but to the people on the ground who've got issues that needs to be explained is something else. And I'm saying this because if you go to Kwakiki, there's two neighborhood watches that are operating there. And the reality is, out of those two that are operating, only one was accredited. And it's the one that I'm saying is linked to the DA. Now, if the response that I'm getting here is such that it is of administrative issues that have not been dealt with properly, I wish to suggest that whoever is the official that is there on the ground must go back and explain. Now, Kwakiki includes Polar Park as well. But Polar Park is the informal settlement. There's another informal settlement within Polar Park as well, which does not have neighborhood watch that are operating. The same as with this one that is opposite the graveyard. There's two. One is linked to Councillor Ngavaso, which is DA aligned purely. And the second one is just of community members, a certain combination of people that are there. So I'm saying this, these are serious allegations that you get when you go to the ground and listen to the people. So I'm making an appeal that the department needs to send that same person or someone else to explain, because there's already a cloud hanging over the official that is there. This needs to be explained and people understand properly. If there are outstanding administrative aspects that must be attended to, then it must be done. So I'm making this appeal, Chair, so that we've got things that are running smoothly. Tomorrow we are not labeled as being partisan, because neighborhood watches are not supposed to be partisan. They're supposed to be comprised of people that are concerned with safety issues. And therefore, Chair, I'm making that appeal. And the last one, Chair, is if I can at some point get a list of this risk rating that the department is referring to, because I need to understand exactly what it entails so that I'm able to unpack these issues when I visit communities. Thank you.
Questions, if I may, please. The one is there a minimum and maximum members with regard to Neighbourhood Watch? I'm not so much worried about the minimum, I'm worried about the maximum. The moment you start getting amorphous masses of people, your command and control over those people becomes very, very difficult. I want to know whether the department has thought about some sort of a hierarchy whereby you have sections and squads and things of that nature so that you can have a trickle-down command and control so that it just becomes a structured system. Otherwise, it becomes, you know, you've got 200 people, who's the chief in charge? That's the one aspect. The other aspect is the relationship with the CPF. In the past, the CPFs have felt that they are the overlords over the Neighbourhood Watch. I'd just like to know whether this is and similarly with regard to the Cyber Police Service. Patrolling had to be done previously, you know, with the accompaniment of a member of the Cyber Police Service. Is this still relevant? Because I don't think it happens very much. And lastly, just as far as especially if you're going to possibly start paying people stipends, is there any, do you have any, do you envisage any insurance or public liability relating to people in this regard who are acting at the department's behest?
Sir, let me, I'll also keep my responses very brief, not out of disrespect or if I am not fully answering, please don't. I think the safety plans with the municipalities, as you may know, in the PNP report, we publish the safety plan of each of the municipalities per cluster as we consulted with them. Chair, we haven't seen the response in terms of take-up in the IDPs as we were hoping. The IDPs is still, in most cases, an unaffordable wish list, with all due respect. And we need to get them to a point where we plan together in order to achieve. Now, the MOUs that we've signed tomorrow, the PTM is again meeting with all the municipal managers. All the HODs are with the municipal managers. And it's a core element of the WASA project that is run within PSG3 in order to look at what is the quality and the affordability of the plans. Otherwise, it really becomes more of a frustration than a working document. The quality of reporting from the municipalities, I think, is equally, sir, until we formalize that in a MOU. I still believe that we should have a MOU signed between every department and every municipality for you as the oversight also to understand what's happening, what's the agreement. As we have signed an MOU with each of the 13 government departments and DOCs, we sign an MOU with them every year, we set out what needs to be done, and I think we need to go down that route. Project-specific funding, I fully agree with the value of the local knowledge. We've seen that, sir. The value of the Neighbourhood Watch standing at the gate and knowing who are gangsters and not, you understand, we cannot undeploy. The public transport and deployment of Neighbourhood Watches, in theory then we say PRASA can do that immediately. We've got a list of accredited Neighbourhood Watches here. They are now legal entities. They can receive money in their own entity. We give the guarantee. So it should not be only how can DOCS fund it, because we don't have the money. We are trying our best to generate additional income through the liquor penalties and the fines. But I also believe, Chair, that's something that we need to start taking as a solution to PRASA and say, why don't you involve your local new community? We have seen that if the community value the asset and they're involved in the protection of the asset, you are most likely to get a much better service for a much lower cost. The TMC link, the desk is already established there. You're most welcome to go and visit the TMC and see the neighborhood watch desk they established. We have links between them and many of the neighborhood watches. But I believe what I'm saying also is that radio network, and we're exploring now going an alternative, the EPIC device, or going a cell phone, because the old radio networks and licenses and so is a complex matter. But the desk is established, the link between the neighborhood watches is not done in all cases. We can maybe in the next one give you an update on that. The EPWP entity, fully agreed, chairperson, the payment of stipends, the equipment, the training, all of that is ways that you can reward the neighborhood watch. What we have seen, Chair, and I'm sorry, I don't want to go into too much detail because I know you had pressure of time, but you know, there's a very distinct difference in neighborhood watches. In some areas, it is a professional entity. You can go there, you can knock on a door, you can sit down, you can look at their control room, you can drink a cup of tea. But in many other areas, neighborhood watch is actually a result of frustration. It is community coming together, and we saw that in the Khayelitsha Commission of Inquiry. People organize in vigilante groups and so because they are frustrated. Now this act is also meant to give them the opportunity to organize, come law-abiding, work within the confines and the scope of the law. And that also goes, Mr. Wiley, to your question on the CPFs and the SAPs. Again, we have gone to a lot of trouble to make sure we get SAPs at national to buy in. We've got SAPs at management level, at PC level to buy in. We do find here and there the difficulty, but now we can start managing the exception. It is SAPS is part of the accreditation process, Chair, and when you look at the certificate that is issued to the neighborhood watch, the SAPS logo is with permission also there. So it gives the legitimacy of a neighborhood watch to start demanding in a positive way that SAPS must support them. The CPF, it's an ongoing, Chairperson. There's a lot of CPFs. Again, our intention is not to disrespect or to disregard the very capable management that sits in CPFs, many of them. Of course, we would be silly not to work with a CPF that's capable and so on. But what we had to break, and we did so with the law and with the, is we had to break the gatekeeping that was taking place. And now if the CPF is refusing to accredit the neighborhood watch, they have the opportunity to put it in writing. What are the reasons? That is considered by a party, by a panel consisting of different experts. And if the experts feel it's unreasonable, we can still go ahead and accredit the neighborhood watch. And also in that case, if a CPF is dysfunctional, in the old days, it means that you can never have a neighborhood watch, because if the CPF is not functioning, nothing else can happen. Now, if the CPF is dysfunctional, you can still go and create and support neighborhood watches in their own right, and that is the purpose of that. In terms of the minimum maximum, that's not something that we've thought about. Simeon, if we can maybe, I think that's something we need to put our minds to. I do believe there's the risk of them becoming too big, especially if we link the reward or the payment to the members that a lot of inactive or so. We'll go back to the drawing boards on that suggestion, Chair. The insurances, the payment of insurances, again, Chair, that's a highly complex issue in terms of legal liability and so on. So and that's part also of why we rather pay the entity, because that then puts the risk on the entity. You understand? We procure a service from the entity. If they want to use that money to buy a group policy for their members, absolutely they can do that. But we haven't, if that's a suggestion, we do, Chair, but we've looked at this in the past. It is very costly, and it basically then also demands from us to assume a certain risk on it. So we'll have to maybe go back to the drawing board. The member Lacker stepped out, but I can give the assurance through you, Chair, that we will then follow up, Samuel,
yeah,
if I can ask that if you just go and meet with those that have not been accredited and explain to them in Google Aid to why not and when will it happen.
Okay. HRD, thank you very much to you and your staff for this presentation. Unfortunately, we are out of time. And I just want to thank you very much for the work that you're doing. I think it, with the members' permission, I think at some stage together we will go and do a, you can identify a couple of neighborhood watches that we can go and visit one evening, just to see how they operate and get a better understanding on the ground as to some of the issues that are going on there. I know that a lot, most members of parliament have been patrollers themselves over the years, but be that as may. And I don't know whether are you aware of it, that we had taken an earlier decision, so you now have a new police ombudsman. It's been approved by the committee as well. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll ask the department to vacate their seats, because is the Public Service Commissioner here? Okay. All right. Actually, I don't know whether you want to stay and listen. I mean, you're most welcome. You know, I don't know how big their party is, but maybe you could sit at the head there over there. All right.
Yeah.
Let's break for 3 minutes or so, if those of you who just want to stretch your legs, and then we'll start promptly in about 4 minutes' time.